worship the King tonight. Yeah. Come on, bless the Lord.
Bless the Lord.
When I
he's done in your life. You see his hand. He's not left you. You're good, God. There's none like you, Jesus. Where would we be without you? Come on, he's turning things around right now. He's turning.
We will.
will dance because you brought us this far. Come on. And take us further. And take us further. Tonight, because of your blood, Jesus, we stand in victory. You've completed the work, God. We stand. Jesus, we honor you. Open our eyes tonight. Open our eyes. To you, Jesus, unveil our eyes to see you high and lifted up. Spirit of wisdom, open my eyes again. Spirit of revelation, open my heart again. Spirit of wisdom, open my eyes again. Spirit of revelation, open my heart again. 'Cause I wanna see you.
See you rightly, Jesus. There is none like you. There is no other way but you. There is no other truth but you. There is no other life but in you. Jesus, I pray you help us to have a renewed sense of awe at your great name, at the grace that you offer, at the goodness of you, Father, that we may walk in constant and complete fellowship with you, Holy Spirit. You are such a good Father. Jesus, you are so precious. And you reign. And you will never fall off of your throne. And we serve you, a risen King. A King above all kings. A name above every single name. The name at which every other will bow. You are our King. You are our Lord. You are our Savior. And we bow to you tonight. We surrender anew to you tonight. We release our lives to you tonight, that you would come into this temple and drive out all that displeases you, that we would be cleansed and purged and ready for your use, Master, in Jesus' name. We bless you, Father. We honor you, and we thank you for this time in your presence. We just pray your blessing right now upon Robbie as he comes to give the word through you, Holy Spirit, and all that is said and done in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Hallelujah. If you love Jesus, just give a clap offering. Make a shout. Let him know. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. I like that. Amen.
Karma.
I tell you, so many people were excited about football coming back on, and they were upset that there could be no fans in the stand. Well, hey, you know what? Who cares?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because our King is always present, and we can always give him praise. Amen. Amen. Well, if you weren't here last night, like I said, welcome tonight. We're glad you joined us here at Spirit of Life Church. If you do not have a home church, you're welcome to join us tomorrow. Robbie will be speaking again. It's at 10 a.m. in the morning. Come on out. Like I said, last night was just a wonderful time of training and equipping, and we're looking forward to what the Lord has for us tonight. Robbie?
Amen. Thank you. No, it's great. Awesome. How you guys doing? Very cool. You know, it was really bizarre because at the, I'm going to get ahead of myself if I do that, so I better wait. See, I have this really like all planned out very clearly of what I'm going to talk about and everything. I'll finish that statement here in a minute, but let me share with you a couple of things first. My third book, we talked about Do What Jesus Did. My third book is Do Greater Things. So it's mine too. Do Greater Things. How many of you have ever read that passage and thought, what does that mean? These things shall you do and greater. Anybody? Just me? Me and you. We're the only ones. Nobody else thought about that passage, just for me and you. And I read it my entire life growing up in church, and have always thought, what is that? Is Jesus really saying that we could do greater things? Well, here's the thing. I think it's an invitation to explore the height, the depth, the width, the authority that he's given you. It is not a restriction. It's not, he's saying, I'm laying the foundation. Because remember, as we said last night, everything Jesus was doing was showing us not what he could do, but what we could do. And so he was showing us that, and then he was saying, build from there. And so I'm going to talk a little bit about that here tonight in the message that I have for you tonight. That's a beautiful picture right there. That is a very attractive man that they just showed. That's... Oh, you got that. Those three people. I love you guys right there. Not you, Michelle. She's like, I'm sorry. Her too. Michelle and her husband. Well, I'm going to tell you a little bit about where they were working tonight. We're going to talk about the area of where they've been doing missions. But anyway, Do Greater Things is exploring the height, the depth, the width of the authority that you have, and saying, "Go for it, go do it." And so it's one of my favorite stories that's in this book is where I was in Sierra Leone, and if you don't know anything about Sierra Leone had a horrific civil war where they were taking children away and then training them to basically go back and even kill their parents and everything. It was really horrific. They were chopping off limbs of people, just not even for any reason, but just basically so that they couldn't fight back. and just had this horrible, about a third of the population was killed during the Civil War. And then a few years later, Ebola originated from Sierra Leone, and that killed another third of the nation's population. I mean, this is a group of people Satan really doesn't like. And so I went there, and we were doing a training there where we were, my goal was to plant a church a day. That's, I know it's an ambitious goal, but we were like, we're going to go. And so we were going to these Muslim villages, and we were going to the courthouse of the Muslim village, which is the largest mango tree in the village. And now you got to realize in Sierra Leone, there's parts, the places that we were going to, many of them had never seen white people. So it was easy to attract a crowd. Because I and one other guy were the token white people, and they were like, what are those glowing beings? You know, and they're like coming up to us, you know, stroking our skin going, you know, can you sleep at night with this? You know, does this really allow you to sleep? Like, it was easy to kind of gather crowd, but we'd gather, you know, 30 or so people just by, you know, walking into the village. We'd have to walk usually a few miles to get there. And then I would just, like we did last night, I would bring a few people up for healing, and I'd pick one of the little girls from the village there that was like, you know, between 10 and 12 years old. And I would have her start praying in the name of Jesus, and people would get healed. And then they would hear this prayer over and over. We would pray for about 10 different people. And then we would break them up in groups of twos and threes and send them to every home and pray for people. So we were sending Muslims to do evangelism. And so they would go back into the village and say, come meet the Jesus that just healed you. Because they were praying in the name of Jesus, they were getting healed, and they say, come to the you know, big mango tree, and you'll meet the Jesus that just healed you. And so we come back with the whole village. So there'd be a couple hundred people that would come back after that, and then we would do a bigger gospel presentation and lead them to Christ and leave a young man or young woman there to be the pastor and to plant the church. And so we were doing that every day. And then we went into this one village, and all of a sudden it started raining. Well, they didn't have any buildings there, and so I kept saying, there's got to be like a schoolhouse or something. There's got to be something. And they were like, nope, nothing like that here. And so I looked over, and I said, well, what's that building? And they were like, the mosque. And I'm like, that's a building. And the imam had been there earlier, and I was like, somebody go ask the imam if we can use the mosque. And they were like, do you want to die? And so I was like, just go ask him. You haven't asked him. So the guy, one of the Sierra Leonean guys walked over and asked the mom. And he came back and he said, the imam asked, do you want to die? And I said, you didn't ask him right. I said, come follow me and translate for me. I said, I'm going to show you how to ask this question. So I walked over to the imam and I said, you have a beautiful mosque. I mean, this is the most beautiful building in this entire village. This is amazing. I said, how many of these people standing out here, remember there's a couple of hundred, that come to prayer for your prayers every day in the mosque? And he goes, maybe 10 or 15, not really that many. And I said, well, how would you like to get all these people into your mosque? And maybe they'll see how beautiful your mosque is, and they'll start coming for prayer. And he's like, that's a brilliant idea. And I said, yes, it is. And so we go into the mosque. And so I'm doing a full gospel presentation, and I'm talking about Jesus being God, and I'm saying all these things. And the imam is listening. Well, about 45 minutes into it, all of a sudden these guys show up who were workers in the field. They were farmers. All this whole village was farmers. And they show up with clubs, and they're beating on the outside of the mosque. They're like, get out of here. This is, you're Christians, and we've come to pray, and, you know. And so I looked at the imam, and I was like, is the imam going to throw us under the bus or not? Like, is he going to throw us out to these guys that are going to kill us? And so the imam's eyes were really big, too. And I was like, oh, no, this is not a good sign. And about that time, the imam jumps up, and he shouts out. He goes, no, you go away. Jesus is healing people in this place. Go away. We can pray later. And he ran them all off. And so then we gave an altar call. And so, you know, all these people, I turned to the only person that did not accept Christ in the village was the imam. And I looked at him, I said, you know you want to accept Jesus as God. And he goes, I really do, but I got to really think about the consequences of this. So anyway, that story is in that book. And so, and it's filled with also, other things on training and equipping. And then we're going to show you a clip tonight from Finger of God 2. How many of you have seen any of Darren Wilson's films? Aren't they good? Yeah. He's a pretty good filmmaker, sort of, guy. Darren is, when I met Darren, he was a prof at a Baptist university teaching English literature. And he contacts me and he goes, I'm making a movie. And I was like, that's going to be boring. For all of you English lit, teachers, I'm sorry. No offense. My mother taught English literature too, so. But anyway, it would have been boring if she had made the movie too, I think. But anyway, I was like, this is going to be a boring movie. This is going to be like, I'm like, I don't know if I want to be a part of it. Okay, he was right. I was wrong. It was he was actually, because the Holy Spirit was all over that guy. If you haven't seen these movies, we'll show you a clip from this one tonight. But they are really life-changing. We got three of them back there if you're interested in those. And then Identity Thief is, I actually wrote a second book called Identity Thief. This is two DVDs that are teachings of it. And this is really understanding just how the enemy has actually hacked all of our systems. And that all of us have been hacked, and we think that what we think or feel is who we are. But how many of you know that's not true? So what you think and feel is not who you are. When we were pastoring in the Chicagoland, we would do a lot of ministry in Boys Town, which is the large gay area of Chicago. And we would go there, and I would, these guys would always say, do you think we're in sin? Do you think we're going to hell? And I would stop and I would explain to him, I said, well, here's the thing. You think because you think something or feel something, that's who you are. And that's not who you are. What you're thinking and feeling is a lie from the enemy because it is not your, they're like, oh, you don't understand. I've had these feelings since I was a little boy, a little girl. And this applies to everything, not just that. But they're like, you don't understand. I've had these feelings since I was a little boy or a little girl. And I'm like, yeah, but are all your feelings you? Satan can put fiery darts into you. He can shoot thoughts and feelings. He can. That's the reason why Jesus was tempted in every way but never sinned. Because what he felt was not who he was. Does that make sense? And so this teaching is talking about how to take those thoughts captive and make them yield to the will of God and to not surrender and not yield to those. And so it gets into that. It goes into a lot of things in a lot of different areas. And then also I held up the black drive, which is these USB drives that has all the audio teachings. The silver one has all the video teachings back there. And again, these are about a third of the cost from if you, and these last longer, obviously, because they're not on a disc. But then also we have this, one of the teachings called, this is a teaching on the whole armor of God. It's called Playgrounds or Battlefields. And it's basically saying, are we going to engage in war? And that, what we see in Ephesians talking about the whole armor of God is not just to be defensive when the enemy comes after you, but it's supposed to be offensive. We're supposed to be taking ground. The enemy, we need to make it hard to go to hell from Martinsville. You know what I mean? We need to make it hard. People can go there if they want, but they got to work for it, you know? We got to make them work for it. And then also we have these, remember what I said last night about how do you spell faith? R-I-S-K. Well, this is our risk t-shirt. This is a medium. Must be a child's medium. Well, it says large. It says large. Carmine. I mean, seriously, my leg. Like, this is for Bertha. That's about as far as that one's going to go right there. So if faith is risk, you got to turn up the risk. And turning up the risk, you're increasing the atmosphere of faith. We're going to talk about that tonight. But who wants to live the risk that wears a large? You do not wear a large. No, come here. Let me see the back of your shirt. If it says an L, it says XL. But he did get here first. Oh, he did get here first. So, well, wait a minute. I'm giving away more. Who wants to do greater things? You should learn by now. Yeah. She's like, she could just stiff arm everybody. Like, I got this one down for everybody. And then also, with the whole armor, who wants to really step out and move away from the playgrounds and go to the battlefields? All right, turn with me in your Bibles. Well, I was going to say the thing I was going to say at the beginning that started. You know, at the beginning of the shutdown, I was having these prolific, like I was having these prophetic dreams like crazy. It was amazing, and I mean, some of them were disturbing but good, you know. But and then others of them, you know, it's so bizarre because, you know, some points God is revealing stuff to you, and then other things. And I want to talk to you about. With one particular dream that I had at the very beginning, I saw something, and I saw it really play out. We all actually did. You just may not realize it. But what I saw was in this dream, I saw this at the beginning of the dream. I saw this group of people that was like from thousands of years ago in this having this feast. And there was food everywhere. There was bad things happening in the room. There was music in the room, but there was also like just not ungodly type stuff going on. And all of a sudden, I saw this hand reach out, just like is, you know, that Daniel interpreted, you know, the writing on the wall where God wrote and said, "I have weighed you and found you wanting." And I remember I said to the Lord, I said, "Are you talking about our nation?" And he goes, "Well, I'm talking about the church." And I was like, "Ooh, you know, that was a hard one to hear." And I was like, "Okay, Lord, I need to understand that better." Like, and in this dream, I'm having this dialogue with the Father, and I'm like, "I need to understand that better." And then the next thing I saw was this tower that was like made of clay. And it was like this, you know, terracotta looking like clay that was a tower. And it stood probably about that tall. But it had all this detail, all this etched in detail. There were doors. There was this staircase, you know, going around the outside of it. All of this stuff. And then on the side of it, it said the church. And then I heard the Lord say, "This is what I'm going to do." And he took his hand and he flattened this tower. And I mean, it went flat. And immediately I was like, "God, are you destroying your church?" Like, I mean, immediately my mind goes to the worst case scenario. And I'm like, "Are you destroying your church?" And he goes, "No, I'm leveling it." And I'm, in my mind, the language didn't seem much different. I'm like, leveling it, destroying it, sort of looks like the same thing to me right now, you know? And he's like, "No," he says, "I'm bringing the high places low and the low places higher. And I'm bringing it to the same level." And he goes, "I'm leveling my church." And I said, "Why?" And he said, "Because there's some places that have elevated themselves of being as high as me. And they've been viewed as being as equal to me. And what they're saying and teaching, and it does not match what I say and what I do." And I woke up from the dream, and my wife was still asleep, so I went out into our living room, and man, I just began to weep. And I was like, "God, you know, and immediately whenever stuff like that happens, I get very introspective. I'm like, "Lord, how have I been doing this? Like, what have I been doing that's been contributing to this?" And I get just really, really introspective about it. And so I began to pray, and I was like, "Lord, speak to me how that," and I didn't really hear anything about that, but the Lord just began to speak to me that he was bringing these things, that he was bringing this balance out. And then within, you have to realize, this was at the very beginning of the shutdown. And then all of a sudden, we started seeing all the churches were going online, all these things were happening online. And I remember some of my wife's family who live in the Philadelphia area, and they went to a pretty large church in the Philly area. I just called them up one day and I said, "Hey, are you guys staying plugged into church? Are you, you know, even though in the shutdown, are you still at least tuning in? You know, I mean, it's sort of one of those things, you know, where am I going to go to church today? The bedroom or the living room or the, you know, whichever the TV is. And they were like, actually, we haven't been watching our church at all. And I was like, guys, and we've kind of had a little bit of a sort of a mentoring, discipleship sort of role in these people's lives. And I said, guys, man, you got to stay plugged in. You can't do that. You can't. And they were like, oh, no, we're like in church all the time with this thing. And I was like, wait a minute, you just said you weren't. They said, no, we're watching this church of a guy who pastors 25 people in Montana. And they are like, but he has a stronger revelation than we've ever heard from our church. And I was like, really? And they were like, yeah. And they're like, we're discovering preachers and ministers who are preaching things we've never heard before, things that we know are right in line with what God is saying. And all of a sudden, I was like, there it is. There it is, right there. There it is. And right in front of my eyes, this leveling, you know, that is taking place. And the Lord is doing that. And of course, there's been a lot of prophetic words that have come out during this whole thing. I mean, you know, there's been people that have been like, you know, God is going to drop vaccines from heaven, you know, to get over this, which, by the way, let me just say, don't attribute anything what I'm about to say to any of the pastors here, is hooey. If you don't know what hooey is, I'll explain later. First of all, why would God send something like that? Why would he give the cross when he could have dropped a couple of vaccines instead? Healing power doesn't have to come through that way. It doesn't have to. I mean, it's just, it's ludicrous thinking. And this is why we have to judge prophetic words like that by the word of God and not just by what we think is an accurate prophet. And so we got to be wise in this. And I'll walk away from that statement and leave it there. But I'm dead serious. Be very careful. That particular prophet I called on the phone and had a long conversation with. And so, you know, let me say something else. Let me say something else. Balaam was known. Did I say this last night? Okay, somebody said, mm-hmm. So I was like, wait, did I already say this? Balaam was known as a false prophet. Balaam is labeled as a false prophet. You know, Balaam's donkey, Balaam, you know. Yet, the king said everything he prophesied came to pass. And yet, he's labeled as a false prophet. Why? Motive. Motive. His motivation was not in sync with the father's heart. So, the king was saying, come and curse Israel. Come and curse these, you know, nomadic Jewish people that are out, and come and curse them. And so, but yet the king says, everything you prophesy comes to pass. So accuracy doesn't necessarily mean it's a voice of God. Specific information doesn't necessarily mean a voice of God. Motive does. Why? Because Balaam was in it for the money. He was doing it for pay. He was doing it. Now, all of us have to pay our bills. We got to keep the lights. I mean, I get that. We're the same way. But when that is why you're doing what you're doing, or that it's to elevate yourself, motive is key. It's got to be out of the heart of the Father. And that is so, so crucial. Keep that in mind, because that's really important. We are in those days where you have to be so discerning in this day and time more than ever before. And so motive, the motive of ourselves. Even ago, if you ever try to use the power of God to be somebody, if you're using it to try to be somebody, let me tell you right now, it'll kill you. Because you are using it, that is prostituting that gift. It's using it for a different motive than the heart of the Father's motive. Does that make sense? And so it's a prostitution of that gift. And so if you ever try to use the power, people who try to use it, who fall into the, you know, what are we say the three G's, the glory, the girls, and the, which it could be guys too these days, golden girls. We should say just four and say guys too, because there's some really, Jesus help us. But anyway, but just saying, none of you have brought out notepads and are taking notes on anything I'm saying right now, I've noticed. But I'm telling you, you have to use wisdom. Those are the traps of the enemy. Those are the things that the enemy is trying to use to ensnare and to trap and to trip up. And so, man, the pursuit of glory, the pursuit to be somebody is also equally a trap of the enemy. Beware of that. Now, at the same time, don't judge others for that. That's something the Holy Spirit has to do for them. You can't go to them and be like, I think you're doing, and yeah, I mean, if you're their pastor, their leader that they're accountable to, you can't. But don't stop. I've had so many young people who were going out and doing healing in their community and leading people to Christ, and some mature Christian, because I don't want to say the word mature, sounds more like manure Christian to me, went up to them and told them that they were being unwise because they were doing it to get attention in order to try to be somebody rather than do, and that was not their motive at all. That was not the right thing at all. And so we've got it, but we do have to check our heart. You know, we got to check our heart and make sure, you know, what are we doing? You know, and who are we doing it for? And what attitude and heart are we doing it in? It's so crucial and so important. This lady back here, you're sitting on the back row. Yes, what's your name? Jasmine? Jasmine, I just looked back at you a couple of times. I just see the fingerprints of God all over you. God's really, I just felt God touching you. He's doing some things. I felt like he's doing some things in your heart, healing some wounds of your heart. And he's going to use you to bring healing to others and their hearts. I just saw him it's almost like you were looking at some cracks or things. And you were worried, like, you know, are these cracks obvious? Are these cracks? And I just heard the Lord say that there's a strength. It's almost like a vase that had these cracks in it. You were worried about the cracks in this vase. And I heard the Lord say, don't worry about the cracks in the vase. Don't worry about that. You know, when scar tissue heals, it's many times stronger than the previous tissue that was there. And God is bringing that, he's bringing that to you. Does that make sense to you? Are you being nice? Don't be nice. Tell me if it doesn't make sense. But I just see just the fingerprints of God are all over you, and that his hand is really on you, and that he really wants you to know there's some healing coming in your family and some real transformation that's coming. And the Lord says, what you've been waiting for, what you've been asking for, the Lord's releasing. And so there's just a real release for you for that. Does that make sense? So, Father, we just pray for Jasmine. We just pray for your hand on her. We just thank you for the work of your Spirit that's on her. And, Father, just lavish your love on her tonight. Just fill her up. Just fill her with your presence, with your truth, Lord, and just show her how much you love her, how much you care about her. In Jesus' name, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Yeah. As gentlemen, too, you got the really nice beard right there. I don't have a word. I'm just jealous. Beard. No, I'm kidding. That's a joke. That's a joke. What's your name? Josh. Josh, I just heard that this is a season of promotion for you. God's just opening up some doors. Some people that before kind of haven't heard you are going to be start listening to you. There's a broadening of influence. And I just heard the Lord just say that he's just increasing attention to you and releasing some things to you. But I just heard that this is a season of promotion for you. Do you have a son? I saw this little boy. I don't know. It's like the picture was almost like 3 years old, which just, sorry if this is way off, but it was, to me, it would look almost a little bit young. But I saw just this three-year-old little boy, and I saw you just sort of speaking words of life over him. And that he was just really responding to you. And it was just a growth and a thing that was occurring. My sense was that he was a family member. I could be off on that. But I just saw this little boy and you were speaking those words of life over him. But what I hear the Lord saying is that as you call out, you know, the scripture talks about Abraham and says that he called those things that which are not as though they were. And I heard the Lord saying that you're going to speak things over people and you're going to find them raised to that level. Because you're speaking life. You're not speaking it from the standpoint of even correction, but you're speaking life. You're calling them to a higher place. And I just heard there's a real authority in you to do that. And there's a lot of people that need that, to be called to a higher place rather than, you know, be brought low for their actions, but called to live in a higher place. And I felt like, too, I felt like there was, like, some pressure. I don't know if you've been in a place where you're having to make some decisions. So I saw, like, some pressure around your head, and I just felt like that was breaking off tonight and just being a release. Are you guys together? Is this your wife? And what's your name? Jessica? Jessica, too, I just felt like there's a real intercessory gift on you and that the Lord really hears. His ear is really close to your mouth. You have a lot more. You carry a lot more weight, and you really have the ear of the Father. He's listening to what you say. He's listening, and so many times you've felt looked over at different times, and the Lord wants you to know he has not looked past you. He has not looked over you, but there's an authority that's in you, and you have real weight in what you speak and what you say, and that he's paying attention. And so does that make sense to you? So, Father, I just pray your blessing on these two. Just thank you for your hand on them, and just pray, Lord, that you just fill them up and you just increase on their lives. And Lord, just we thank you for this place of promotion and just increase over them in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You guys are easy to prophesy to. Okay, Acts 19. Acts 19. The times we live in are interesting, aren't they? Who would have thought we would be where we are right now? I mean, these are bizarre times. These are interesting times. Life has become stranger than fiction. And yet, this is a time more than ever that the Lord, I believe, is calling us to step out in a greater place of risk and a greater place of faith and to see a true move of the Spirit like never before. There is just so many things that are happening and that are taking place and that I am just so thrilled about. And all of it is based on our response. We always think we're waiting on God, but he's waiting for us. We had this delivery guy that would come to our church in Aurora, Illinois. His name was Fernando. And I loved Fernando. And I would always tell our secretary at the church, I was like, whenever Fernando would come to, you know, he would deliver toilet paper and all this other stuff. And we were at first, you know, going to Sam's and buying it there. And then we found out that this service would do it for even cheaper. And they would bring it to us. And we were like, whoa, let's do that. And I later realized it was a God thing. And I started this conversation with Fernando. And he was telling me about this, you know, that he went to this church. And he went to a Hispanic church. And I started lending him some of those movies that I was showing here. And started, you know, just sharing with him some stuff. And he would come back. And he would watch them. And he would bring me the DVD back. And he would be like, that is so exciting. He goes, you know, God has called me to a healing ministry. I am called to a healing ministry. And I said, Fernando, that's awesome. And then the next time he would come, you know, like the next month, and he would deliver stuff. And I was like, Fernando, you know, who are you praying for? And he goes, nobody yet. I'm waiting on my healing ministry. And I was like, okay. And then the next month, hey, Fernando, who are you praying for? And he goes, Robbie, you don't understand. I'm waiting on my healing ministry. And I finally looked at him. I said, Fernando, if you don't pray for people, you will never have a healing ministry. You have to do something. God telling you you have a healing ministry or will have a healing ministry, you got to start praying for people. And so I remember he came back to me, you know, a couple of months later, and he came in and he goes, well, I prayed for two people. Nobody got healed. So I know it's not the start of my healing ministry. I said, no, you actually started. And he goes, no, I didn't. I'm waiting because I didn't get it. They didn't get healed. And I said, no, you don't understand how this works. And we had this ongoing conversation that would last about 15 minutes because that's about how much time he had with us before he had to go to the next stop. 15 minutes over months of talking about this and explaining it. I gave him several books and I gave him lots of materials for him to understand. But he kept thinking he was waiting on something that God was waiting on for him to activate. Remember we talked about that activation? That activation is what we need. We think we're waiting for God to give us something, and he's given us everything. Jesus said, you know, that all authority has been given to him, and he is in us. The source of all the miracles that he did is residing in you. And so we have to activate. We've got to step out. And with that in mind, I want to take a look at this passage of scripture in Acts 19. And it says in verse 1, while Apollos, we're going to go through almost the whole chapter. While Apollos was in Corinth, Paul traveled through the interior regions until he reached Ephesus on the coast, where he found several believers. Now, when I would read this as a kid, I assumed this was like thousands when they said several. Because I just imagined, you know, a hillside full of people for some reason. Like, I just thought they had thousands that gathered just like Jesus did. But it doesn't start like that. And listen to how it says. It says, he asked them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? He asked them. No, they replied. We haven't even heard there is a Holy Spirit. Now, these are believers. These are believers. And they're saying to him, we haven't even heard that there is a Holy Spirit. Now, as strange as that may sound to you and I think that's very true of a lot of the church today. They may have heard about this thing or person called the Holy Spirit, but they don't understand the work of the Spirit or the power of the Spirit the way that we have maybe encountered it, or maybe that God wants you to encounter that even you haven't encountered yet. And so he's talking about, and they're like, oh, we haven't even heard there's a Holy Spirit. And when I read this, I was like, that is the saddest verse for believers to say, we haven't even heard there's a Holy Spirit. And so many people, again today, you can walk into many churches that used to even be Pentecostal churches, and they would be like, yeah, we've heard of this thing, guy, whatever, called the Holy Spirit. But when they start describing their encounter, it ain't Holy Spirit. And that is sad. And I think that's the reason why. Now, I'm not saying God caused the pandemic. I don't believe that. God is a redemptive God. He can take the ugliest, most horrific, terrible circumstances and turn them into pure gold. That is what he loves to do. He likes to take the worst, the most horrific things and turn them into the greatest growth and development of our lives. That is God's redemptive power. People are like, oh, but if this bad thing didn't happen, this wouldn't have come. God didn't cause the bad thing, but he redeems everything. He's a redemptive God. And so it says, then what baptism did you experience? He asked them. Now listen to what they said. They replied, the baptism of John, which we know is water baptism, right? The baptism of John. Paul said John's baptism called for the repentance from sin, but John himself told the people to believe in the one who would come later, meaning Jesus. As soon as they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul laid his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they spoke in other tongues and prophesied, which we know is speaking in tongues, glossolalia. Prophesied, and there was about 12 men in all. This is not a massive crowd. This is not a massive group of people. Guys, let me tell you something. If you would just focus, if you would just make, like, this next year, your plan to impact 12 people. I'm going to bring at least 12 people to Christ, and I'm going to disciple at least 12 people. And if you would train them to be disciplers of 12 people. And you may say, well, that's my pastor's job. No, it's yours. Every one of us are called to be disciple makers. Every one of us. We are called to make disciples. That's what God has called us to. So many people have been like, one of the things that I've noticed, so like, you know, my schedule, my year was full for an entire calendar year before this thing hit. And it was like watching dominoes fall. As it cleared my schedule. My wife did not cry at all. She was like, this is a good thing. She told me, she goes, God had to put the whole world on sabbatical for you to take one. and it's really true in many ways. He didn't cause it, but it's how he redeemed it. And so just watching, you know, just and all of my itinerant friends, just watching, you know, all of these engagements just fall off. And all, this is what has been so powerful to me. You have to realize, I mean, I was a small church pastor. To all of a sudden see the only churches that were open were smaller to mid-sized smaller churches, and they were all grabbing the dates like crazy. They're like, we're not shutting down. We'll take them. They were all grabbing them left and right, you know. And so everything starts filling back up. But do you see how the leveling takes place? You know, next week I was supposed to be doing a huge festival in Maine. You know, it was me, Sean Foyt, and Kim Walker-Smith, and the governor came and shut it down and said that it was because somebody had put in the paper that it was actually a protest. Now, for some reason, other protests are fine with carrying on, but this one was not okay, you know, to where the governor's like, well, I'm stepping in with this one, you know. And all of a sudden, but sitting there, and I sat there and I thought, this is so interesting, you know, and I texted Kim and I was like, isn't it weird how everything just magically just disappeared, you know, how that just happened, just like that. But what it did is it provided opportunity. There was a leveling. And so I've even witnessed it in my ministry how that happens. And there was no regret in that whatsoever, because I'm just looking for people that'll do what I'm talking about. I don't care how many they are. I want people to just do it. Just go for it. You know what I mean? And so all of a sudden, it was just this incredible, and several people that I've talked to who have had the exact same thing happen, and yet this leveling, this balancing has come about. Guys, this is the time for you to step forward and to really shine. This is the time for us as a church to do that. So listen, all of a sudden that he's like, he prays for them, baptizing the Holy Spirit. There's only 12 people. This isn't a massive crowd. But watch what that leads to in this passage. Watch what takes place in this passage. As soon as they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul laid his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them. And they spoke in other tongues and prophesied. Not just spoke in other tongues, but they prophesied too. There was about 12 men in all. Then Paul went into the synagogue and preached boldly for the next 3 months, arguing persuasively. How many of you bet Paul was a really good arguer? You know what? I bet that dude, he was smart. He was well-educated. I bet Paul knew how to argue. You know what I mean? I bet he could argue persuasively about the kingdom of God. And some became stubborn, surprise, surprise, rejecting his message and publicly speaking against the way. Now, you do realize the name of the early church was the way. And so they were publicly speaking against the church in this. Now, this was their typical. They would typically go into an area where the synagogue was. They would look for people who were, you know, faithful believers. They would share the gospel with them, bring them into a walk and a relationship with Christ, understanding Jesus as the Messiah. It says, so Paul left the synagogue. Why? For 3 months, he's arguing persuasively, and they're just getting stubborn. What does that tell you? When people get stubborn, don't waste your time. Don't waste your time. Guys, you have to move with the movers. People that won't move, don't waste your time. When I was pastoring my church, people that were just there, just, and they would argue about stuff, or they would come and they would bring up things, and they weren't productive, they weren't doing anything, I wouldn't kick them out. I just wouldn't give them any time, because they weren't productive. They were black holes. There are people that are black holes. Anybody who's ever pastored or led people understand what black holes, you just get close enough and you hear this sucking sound. Pulling you into the blackness of their black hole. They're just sucking you into it. It could be their problems. It could be their issues. It could be their family crisis. There's like, and you're like, run! And you're, you know, hair, if you haven't. See, I pastored too long. And it's like pulling back from you, you know, because they're just sucking the life right out of you. You know what I mean. You know who I'm talking about. don't look around the room. And so all of a sudden, so we all of a sudden think, well, that's compassion ministry, is to let them just suck the life right out of me. No, it's not. Move with the movers. I would give my time to people that were actually going out and sharing the gospel and were actually going out and praying for people. And many times they would never ask for any of my time. I would have to say, hey, we really should get together because I know you're doing stuff that I want to pour into. And I want to, they're like, no, really, I'm fine. What I get on Sunday morning is good. And what I get at our home group is good. I'm really okay. And I'm like, no, you don't understand. I'm trying to get away from that sucking sound over there. And I want to spend time with you because you're actually productive in the kingdom. You may say that I'm still processing through some of that right now. He who has an ear to hear, let them hear. So all of a sudden, Paul's like, forget it. These guys are just arguing. I'm giving a persuasive argument. It's time to move on. It's time to find people that are willing to move. It's time to find people that are willing. And you could look at the synagogue almost as, in many ways, as the local church. Now, does that mean that Paul gave up on even attending or periodically going to the synagogue? No. But he was just like, I'm not pouring in all my energy and time to do the kingdom work there because they're not interested in hearing it. I remember one time it was a smaller youth conference. It probably had 50 young people at this thing. And I gave a call for people to come forward. And I remember there was this one girl there that was looking kind of puzzled. And she was sort of the first in line. And I stepped up to her. And I said, how can I pray for you? And she goes, well, I'm an atheist, and I got a lot of doubts about some of the stuff you're saying. And I said, okay. I said, tell me. And she starts arguing with this stuff, and I said, listen. I said, let me explain. And I start explaining some stuff to you. And she's like coming back with arguments. And I'm looking at my watch, and I'm like, I've been 5 minutes here while I have 20 young people still waiting in line. And finally I said, listen, I'm going to come back to you in a few minutes. I'm going to pray for these guys and I'll come back. I went to the next guy and he says, I'm so desperate to accept Jesus, I'll do anything. Just tell me what I need to do. I'm just here to accept Jesus because I need Jesus so bad in my life. I could have lost that kid by giving all my time to her. And she just wanted to argue. Because I finished all of those guys, went back to her, and she left arguing. And you have to come to a place where you have to recognize who's a mover, who's somebody that's actually going to take and move with it, and don't get into arguments. You'll approach people, and they'll try to get you into a debate over something. You'll walk up to people, hey, can I pray for you? Jesus will heal you right now. I love it when the Holy Spirit, and stay with the encounter, and don't get into the argument. This is the training part, okay? So like I was at an auto parts place one time, and this guy came in and he was dragging his leg like this in this auto parts, and I'm waiting at the counter, you know, as they're looking for the thing I'm trying to get, and I looked at him and I said, hey, I said, can I pray with you? I said, you know, if you let me pray for you, Jesus will heal your leg right now. Now, I didn't know if he was a believer or not. Now, I typically only say that to unbelievers because I expect believers to believe that already, and so he looks at me and he goes, well, if that happens, you got a lot to answer for. And I said, why's that? And he goes, because I am a cessationist and I don't believe that healing is for today. And he says, so if I get healed, you got a lot of questions to answer. And I said, okay. I said, I'll answer your questions. And he says, so let me ask for, I said, no. You said, if I get healed, let me pray for you to be healed. And he's like, okay. And so I prayed for him, and I said, now, if you were at a 10 before, I want you to walk and check your legs. So he walks, and he's doing just like this. Now, before, he's dragging it like that. But he's just doing it like this, not as much, and he's sort of lifting it a little bit more. And so I said to him, I said, listen, let me ask you this. I said, if you were at 10 before, and 0 is perfectly normal, perfectly fine, where are you at now? And he said, about a 5. And I said, can I pray again? And he's like, yeah. I prayed again. And then the next time, he's walking like this, but slowly. And I said, now where are you at? He goes, 2. Can I pray again? He said, yeah. I prayed again. And the guy's literally trotting around, He's not dragging at all. His leg is coming as high as the other leg. And I said, now where are you? And he goes, at zero. And I said, now, what are your questions? And he looked at me, and he had tears in his eyes, and he goes, I don't remember. And I said, exactly. Exactly. So people can come with their arguments, but an encounter just wipes them away. Don't get focused on their argument. Pursue them having an encounter. Does that make sense? So listen to this. I love this. This is so powerful. So he went to the synagogue and he preached boldly. They're arguing. So listen, but some became stubborn, again, rejecting the message, publicly speaking against the way. So Paul left the synagogue and took the believers with him. Why? Because he's like, I'm not letting these guys jack you up. I am taking you out of here. I am delivering you from here. Then he held daily discussions at the lecture hall of Tyrannus. So this is a secular environment that he's going to. He's going to the secular lecture hall. And he's going to, it's an open, back in those times, there was not anybody can go in. They could talk about anything. They could talk about whatever. And so Paul's going there. And he's like, let me just go. Notice who else did this too. Jesus. He came into his own. His own didn't receive him. So who did he go to? Whosoever will. People are asking me all the time. They're like, you know, my church just isn't doing anything. My church isn't, you know, I need to leave my church and find another church. I'm like, no, what you need to do is go out, pray for some people, lead them to Christ, start a group in your home, discipling them, raise them up, demonstrate to them the truth of what is in the gospel. Do that, share with them, and lead them into and bring them with you. And explain to them, you know, see, when we stop and we think, but wait a minute, I need to go where it's like this. The problem is then I'm saying it is the job of a few to do the job that Christ called all of us to. Don't make that mistake. Be the transformation where you're at. Bring the transformation where you're at. God is a redemptive God. That's how you redeem it. Does that make sense? The same three people back there that were like, you know. Listen, this went on for the next 2 years. For 2 years. Now, this is really powerful. I mean, this is really fortitude. This is strength in Paul to stick with it, you know, for 2 years. And listen to this. This went on for the next 2 years. So the people throughout the province of Asia, both Jews and Greeks, heard the word of the Lord. So people are starting to hear the word of the Lord. The religious community wouldn't hear it. So where did he go? Whosoever will. Whosoever will. I love the churches that are meeting in Walmart. I love it. That's sort of like the Tyrannus lecture hall. You know what I mean? I mean, that's the local lecture hall. Don't knock them. Join them. You know, go in and go start your own there. They're in the shoe section. You go to the pharmaceuticals or something. I don't know. God gave Paul the power to perform unusual miracles. How many of you want that? I don't know why everybody in the whole room didn't raise your hand. I don't know why you didn't raise your hand right there. But if you do not want the power to perform unusual miracles, I'll take your portion. There's nothing wrong with that. That's a good thing to want to do. When handkerchiefs or aprons that had merely touched his skin, were placed on the sick people, they were healed of their diseases and evil spirits were expelled. By just these aprons or handkerchiefs, just brushing his skin, they'd throw them on somebody with demons, boom, they're gone. You know, people with serious illnesses, they leave their bodies, they're healed. I mean, that's the deliverance ministry I want right there. You know what I mean? I was in Samara, Russia, and they had these. We were talking. Those are the guys with that security team I was talking about. There's like 1,500 people in this thing. This church was literally underground. I mean, a true underground church. I mean, you guys realize Russia is closing again, right? I mean, it really is. I mean, it's harder than ever to get a visa there. I mean, it takes months to get a visa there when it used to be just so quick. But it is really closing up in many ways. Really pray for the church in Russia. I mean, they would even tell you Russia is closed. It is a closed nation. Putin has made it against the law to preach the gospel outside of the church. If you preach the gospel outside of the church, you will be thrown in jail. We were in this large civic center that would seat a couple of thousand people having some meetings. And they were like, you know, the most of these people that are coming aren't believers. And they were like, our plan was to do a gospel presentation for you to preach the gospel and have a call for salvation. 2 days before, Putin passed the law that you will be arrested. And they received letters from the police department said, if we catch any of your people, every pastor in Siberia, throughout Siberia, received letters. If we catch your people sharing the gospel outside of the church, we will arrest you and throw you in jail. And so they were like, Robbie, we don't know how you're going to give a call. We don't know. The best thing to probably do is just not do one at all. And I was like, okay. So we got in to do the meeting, and I'm sharing the gospel and talking about coming and giving your lives to Christ. I was talking about my cousin over here, our grandfather. I've shown the pictures of Milo and his just testimonies of family and things like that, giving this whole presentation. And then we got to the end, and I said, so, if you want to give your life to Jesus Christ, stand to your feet right now and come down here. Now, they had already told me, they said, we see two spies from the city here that are in the audience. And I was like, get up out of your seat, come down to the front as quickly as possible. And all of a sudden, all the pastors on the front row, they're like looking and whispering, and they're like, their eyes are huge, they're freaking out. And so they're sitting there thinking, you know, Robbie's going to get arrested on our watch, you know. I've been in jail in Russia before. I was like, I can do it again. I can handle this one more time. And so one of the guys, his name is Mikhail, he came around the corner, and he's running to come up on stage. And so he gets up on stage, comes behind me, and I'm like, quickly, quickly run, you know, because I'm like, they're going to take the mic out of my hand in a minute. And people are coming up. People are coming forward. There's several hundred people that came forward. And Mikhail, he looks on the front row, and his eyes gets really big. And he leans into me, and he said, see the lady in the red dress? And I said, yes. He said, she's one of the spies. She was the first one to the front. The first one who came forward to give her life to Christ. And I was like, is the other one here too? And he goes, I don't know. I don't know which one the other one is, but I know for sure she is. And so he was like, so he grabbed the translator's mic, and he's like, yes, come quickly. After he saw that, you know, he was motivated. Somebody's just got to take the lead. You know what I mean? You just take the lead, and they'll follow. And they were like so encouraged. So many people. And then he stood up there for 5 more minutes. Come on. And the other pastors were like, you know, trying to get him to stop. I got a video of it. He was up there doing it. I was like, videoing from behind, winking in the camera afterwards, you know, because it's against the law. But let me tell you something. All of a sudden, I mean, we want, here's the ticket. You want to see unusual miracles? You got to take more risk. Can't do it plain and safe. Can't do it plain and safe. You can't do it worrying about what people think of you, what their opinions are of you. You can't do it plain and safe. It's not going to happen. You got to be in that place of risk. I remember one time my wife, I was going to one of these crazy countries. My kids were younger at that time. And I was praying over my boys. I have 6 sons. She and I have 6 sons. I'm praying over my boys and praying, Lord, you know, just bless our boys. Father, keep them safe. Help them to behave. Help them to be careful. And I pray, Lord, that they would be careful boys, that they wouldn't be, you know, and I keep praying these prayers of protection and carefulness and all this stuff. My wife, Angie, she stops and she goes, she interrupts my prayer and she goes, you stop praying prayers of safety over our boys. And I was like, what kind of mother are you? And she goes, your prayers of safety and carefulness, you're putting them in harm's way. She goes, you pray that our boys are the most dangerous men on the planet to the kingdom of darkness. And when Satan sees them coming, his legs are shaking and he breaks out into a sweat. She goes, stop praying prayers of safety. And I was like, woman, you are hot when you talk like that. See, I did it again. I did two nights in a row. I know. I'm so bad. She's right. Because what Jesus said, if you try to save your life, we said this early, what'll happen to it? You'll lose it. But if you're willing to spend your life for the sake of the gospel, you'll have true life. You'll have eternal life. You'll have the life that God always intended you to have. But you're never going to get it playing it safe. Never going to get it playing it safe. So listen to this. Oh, I started to tell you. So I went to that church and they had stacks of washcloths. And they were all at the front on both sides in this church, church that was underground. And I looked at the pastor and they literally built the church. The Spirit of God told the pastor when he built the church, he said, dig and put the church underground and put a storefront building on the front because he said the government's going to close again. And he says, and you need to be prepared to be the underground church again. And so within a matter of just a couple of years, that started happening. And so we were there, and I looked at him, and I said, Anatoly, I said, what are all these washcloths? And he goes, you're going to pray for every last one of them. And I was like, I ain't standing here going, 1, 2, 3, 4. And he goes, nope. He goes, the scripture says they just merely touched Paul's skin, and they were healed. Demons left and healing came. And he goes, just take your hand and just brush across them. That's all we need. And I looked at him and I said, man, I don't think I've seen any higher faith in the world than yours right now. It blew my mind. And there were a lot of testimonies that came out of that of healing and deliverance. I mean, just, I was blown away by that. God gave power to perform unusual miracles through these handkerchiefs of these diseases. I mean, just imagine. A group of Jews traveling from town to town. Now listen to this. Casting out spirits. They had tried to use the name of the Lord Jesus. This is a group of Jews that are traveling from town to town. Tried to use the name of the Lord Jesus in their incantation, saying, I command you in the name of Jesus of whom Paul preaches to come out. Let me say something clearly. Anytime you have to use the power once removed, anytime it's a relationship once removed, in the name of the Lord Jesus of whom Paul preaches, that is once removed, that should be a warning for you. This comes out of direct relationship. This doesn't come through the relationship of another. This doesn't come through. I remember I used to have these horrific demonic visitations when I was a kid. And I would want to sleep in my parents' bedroom because I knew God was there because my mother was there. You know what I mean? I mean, I knew my mom. God was with my mom. I knew that. My dad was the pastor of the church, but my mom, I knew God was with for sure. I knew because they both were, you know, people who really, you know, loved the Lord with their whole hearts. But man, my mom had the proximity. I knew she had a close connection. She and the Father were like that, you know? And I just wanted, I was like, somehow this is, and I remember my mom one time looking at me saying, Robbie, this has got to come out of your own relationship. I was 11 years old, so I didn't totally get that at the time, but she was right. She was right. Now listen to this. I command you in the name of the Lord Jesus of whom Paul preaches, come out. Now right now that should be just a flashing light on the dashboard. There's something missing here in its direct relationship. These were the seven sons of Sceva, a leading priest, who were doing this. Now, how many of you would agree this is not the best approach and not the right approach? If you know the rest of the scripture, you know there's an issue here, okay? But listen to this. It says, when they tried when they tried it, the evil spirit replied, I know Jesus and I know Paul, but who are you? You know what my prayer is for you? That the devil knows your name. My prayer for you is that the devil knows your name. And that when somebody is trying to do this, he's saying your name along here with Jesus. Think about that. Make that your goal. Make the enemy see you as such an adversary that he knows you by name. He knows you by name. Now, as soon as this happens, I know Jesus and I know Paul, but who are you? I mean, now we know this is not good. Okay, right? This is not a good sign. This is not a good situation. And it says, now listen to this. The man with the evil spirit leapt onto them, overpowered them, attacked them with such violence that they fled from the house naked and battered. This is not good, right? I mean, so they're running from the house with no clothes on, beaten, bleeding, running for their lives. Make note. This is, how many of you would agree this is a failure? You agree this is a failure? This didn't go well, right? This did not, this wasn't one, you know, let's follow this, you know, type of thing. Total failure story. Total failure. So the story of what happened made people disbelieve in the gospel. Is that what it says? So the story of what happened spread quickly. I'm sure these boys weren't excited about that. All through Ephesus to the Jews and the Greeks alike. And everybody disbelieved. A solemn fear descended on the city. And the name of the Lord Jesus was greatly honored. Because seven goofy guys were doing something. Rather than sitting around doing nothing. You ever go to Walmart and pray for somebody and get healed? And you're like, I'm never doing that again. It was a failure. It didn't work. Not true. Not true. You go to pray for somebody and Jesus is going to heal you. Right? People ask me the question, when you say that to people and they don't get healed, you know, do you apologize? No. I'm sorry I have so much faith. I'm sorry I actually believe the word of God. Forgive me. I'm sorry because I know God can do this. Yes, forgive me for that. No. No. And we stop, we hit something. The problem is, you want to know why so many of us aren't just hitting the streets praying for people all the time? Because most of us are praying for people. We're praying for too many people in our Christian circles. Unbelievers get healed faster. Christians don't get healed as fast. And it's not because of lack of faith or belief. It's because Satan is fighting harder against the church than he is the world. Why? Because he's like, I got them. They're mine. I'm not opposing them. Who's opposing you and I? I felt more demonic power in a church than I've ever felt at a witchcraft festival that I went to minister to. That's not an indictment against the church. That's how it should be. Satan should be hating this place. He should be wanting to camp out, causing so much, because he is terrified of you. And when that happens and trouble starts, take a toll. Make the devil pay for it. Don't sit down. Don't just take it sitting. Finally, people are just doing something. They were doing it wrong, but at least they were doing something. God can use the most twisted, jacked up nothing and turn it into something miraculous if we will just do something. Selah. That's not the name of a chick. That means stop and think about it. Think about it. The name of the Lord Jesus was great. A fear descended. Satan had beat these guys up, and it so backfired on the devil that a holy fear descended on the city. Yeah, can you imagine Satan going, oh, snap. I went the wrong direction with that one. Oh, I shouldn't have done that. Out of a failure story. And we're sitting there going, but if I go and pray for someone, they don't get it. I'm never doing it again. Oh, don't do that. Don't do that. Just keep going. God doesn't owe it to you to produce the results you want. Yet I owe him my obedience. I was being interviewed by this Christian television station. It was sort of it's called Something Road, but it's the Canadian version of 700 Club. And this lady was like, she was asking me to share some of the stories. We're sitting on the set, and she goes, but you have the gift of healing. And I'm like, how do you know that? And she goes, oh, we've watched you. We've studied what you're doing. You have all the earmarks of somebody who has the gift of healing. And so you're telling people to go do stuff that you can do when you have the gift of healing. And this is, and I said, I was not born with a certificate on the bottom of my foot that says has the gift of healing. I'm like, you don't know that. You're just looking at you know, what you're seeing as patterns of that. The scripture doesn't say, well, this is what somebody looks like when they have the gift of healing. Now, I know that sounds like a stupid thing to argue about, but when you understand my point, I looked at her and she goes, but she's taking this on. And I'm like, are we sure we're talking to a Christian television station? You know, like I wanted to say that. I didn't say it, but I was thinking it in my head. And then I finally looked at her, and I think her name was Deborah. I said, Deborah, if you don't have the gift of healing, try on the gift of obedience. I said, Jesus said, heal the sick. He didn't say based on your gift or based on your qualifications or based on anything. He just said, heal the sick. That's your job. The results belong to him. If all of a sudden I do something because of the results, who's the glory for? I'm taking it for me if I'm only doing it based on the results that I see. But if I do it because Jesus just said to do it, the results are for him. They don't belong to me. They're his. Does that make sense? All right. Kenny was talking way too long up here before I got up. That's right. Just kidding. No, you weren't. I'm joking. He said like, what, two sentences right before I got up? It's not you, brother. It's me. Now listen to this. This is so powerful. So a holy fear descends out, please hear again, out of a failure story. Remember what I told you last night? God can use a failure, but he can't use a quitter. Just keep going. It doesn't matter the results. Just keep going. The story of what happened spread quickly throughout Ephesus, Jews and Greeks alike. Everyone, a solemn fear descends. Many who became believers confess their sinful practices. Out of hearing this horrible failure story. Here's what I found. Get out. Find Jesus.
Repeat after me. Father, forgive me of my sins.
All of a sudden, this failure story, and people just start confessing their sins. Imagine. Now, let me tell you what I've learned. Have you guys ever heard Bill Johnson say that term, talking about shifting the atmosphere? Now, he and I had a discussion about it one time online, and I asked him, I said, I want you, and then he started saying, he said, as he's listening to my definition, he goes, that's not my definition. And I was like, well, could you talk about my definition rather than your definition? Because I have a whole segment planned on us talking about my definition of it. He's like, I haven't even thought about that definition, but that's very interesting. And of course, I was very impressed with myself that I had done that for Bill. I'm like, listen, anything I can do to help your revelation, it's my gift to you, brother. You know? I mean, Bill blows my mind, just these revelation bombs, one right after another. So listen to this. I asked him, we were talking about it. I said, I believe when we go and do kingdom activity, when we go pray for the sick, go minister, go give a word of knowledge, even when people are like, yeah, that's not me. No, that's dead wrong. Even when you go do it, because of your obedience, even when you think it's a failure, it shifts the atmosphere of where you're at. You see, you and I are looking at the natural atmosphere, but there's a spirit realm that's there. And our obedience of even going back again and again, you see, that's what happened in our city. We weren't leading thousands and thousands of people to Christ, but we were shifting the atmosphere where these crimes were committed. We were shifting them back around and making those powers and principalities yield to the will of God. But just going. Many times we'd go and we wouldn't see anybody get healed. We just kept doing it. We're like, well, we're not stopping until we bring three people to Christ. That was shifting that atmosphere. You're shifting that spiritual. I mean, the results are not what, to us, that's what we're going for. But in the spirit realm, you're changing that spiritual atmosphere dynamic just because you're obeying and you're following through. Even if they were getting it wrong. But they shifted an atmosphere over a major new city, a major new Roman city. That was Ephesus. Now listen to this. I don't think I've ever taken so much time preaching on this first part of the passage. It's the latter part that I'm really trying to get to. So the message of the Lord Jesus spread widely and had a powerful effect. Again, out of a failure story. You're like, but I'm afraid I'll pray for people, they won't get healed. So, do it out of obedience. Just go. Afterward, people felt compelled by the Spirit to go over to Macedonia. Compelled by the Spirit to go over to Macedonia and Archaia before going to Jerusalem. After that, he said, I must go on to Rome. He sent his two assistants, Timothy and Aretas, and ahead to Macedonia, and he stayed a while longer in the province of Asia. About that time, verse 23, a serious trouble developed in Ephesus concerning the way. You know, it was going so well. Why in all of our narratives, God's moving and then serious trouble develops? Why is that the case? Because you're in the center of God's will. How many of you have ever heard that people say the safest place to be is in the center of God's will? It's a lie. The most dangerous place to be is in the center of God's will. The enemy's coming after you. When you're in the center of God's, yet it's the place you and I were meant to live. Right in the center, right in the eye of the storm. Right in the eye of the storm. Think about it. It began with Demetrius, a silversmith. He had a large business manufacturing silver shrines for the Greek goddess Artemis. He kept many craftsmen busy. He called them together, and he stops, and basically he goes, okay, guys, listen, we got a problem here. These guys are here preaching, and everybody's burning their books of incantations. They're destroying these idols that we make to worship, that we make a lot of money off of. And he's like, but it's not about the money. It's about the glory of Artemis. It is about the glory. It's not about the money. Don't think I'm motivated by the money. But we got to stop these guys, or we're all going to end up poor. But it's about the glory of Artemis. It's about the money. Our political arena doesn't look very different than this right now, does it? Oh, but they're looking out for us. They're looking out for those who are disenfranchised, those who are hurt, those who are on the... Oh, no. It's about the money. It's about the money. Artemis will be robbed of its great prestige. At this, their anger boiled, and they began shouting, "Great is Artemis of the Ephesians." Soon, the whole city, again, the whole city is filled with confusion. Now, let me explain. What we are about to read is one of the greatest revivals that was supposed to happen. And how does it start? The whole city being filled with confusion. Take a look at our cities right now. They're filled with confusion. Why are these guys cutting through these metal? Why are they pulling down those statues? They're saying this, but that doesn't really make sense with really the motivation. Like, what is it? It's filled with confusion. And yet, that's the groundwork for a mighty revival. We want to be it that they're just bursting open the doors of the church. And that's not how it starts here. Don't be deceived by thinking the way. Again, remember, your results that you're going for may not be the objective that is supposed to bring a mighty move of God. Pay attention. When people are in confusion, that's the time to start preaching the gospel. When there's chaos ensuing, that's the time to preach a message of hope and love and compassion and a cry to come to Christ. That's the time. Listen to this. Soon the whole city was filled with confusion. Everyone rushed to the amphitheater, dragging along Gaius and Articus, who were Paul's traveling companions from Macedonia. Do you have that picture? Pull that up if you would. So we were last year, we were in this amphitheater. This is the very amphitheater that this says. Do you remember when I read it there? I read this passage there while we were standing in the amphitheater. Our tour guide is standing there with the blue lanyard, and at the beginning, he was having problems with his throat, and he was saying, "I probably can't finish the tour." And so I stopped and prayed for him, and I think it stopped at about a one, but he went down to he was 90% healed, and he could talk again, and he was actually not just to finish the tour that day, but then also the next day and the rest of the entire tour. And so he got up and he said to our group, I want you to test the acoustics because everything that you see there is marble. And he goes, I want to test the acoustics. Can somebody sing a song that would test the acoustics? I was like, oh, no, 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 no. This is mine. I'm like, I will test the acoustics. Because we had some good singers on that group, and I did not want them to take over. So I grabbed my Bible, and I read Acts 19, this passage where this happened right here. I read this happen right there, and as I was sitting there, I said, Paul himself wanted to come into this amphitheater. And I said, the whole place was filled. This amphitheater would seat 10,000, 9,000, somewhere around in there. How many? Something like it's massive, and it's this huge. There was this whole place was filled with all of Ephesus, and they're dragging Gaius and Articus. But take a look at what it says next. Who were Paul's traveling companions from Macedonia? Paul wanted to go in too, but the believers wouldn't let him. Think about this. The guy who can perform unusual miracles. The whole city is present. This is the time. But they wouldn't let him because they wanted to keep him safe. Massive mistake. Man, when you see people at a place of confusion or turmoil, or you see them, their life is in upheaval, that is the time to go preach. That is the stage set for revival in their life. We're like wanting it to be them crawling on their knees to our house. Tell me about Jesus. Give me all. No, when they're in that place of confusion, that is typically the stage is set and ready. That soil is in upheaval, ready to receive that seed to be planted. And I read this story there and I shouted out and I was like, Paul preached the gospel, was supposed to preach the gospel here, but believers would not let him. So if you want to come and accept Jesus and be healed in your, this is in Turkey. You know, this is where Christians are being kicked out left and right. People from other, not just, you know, people from other countries, but also the Turks themselves. All of a sudden, I'm like, come down here. We will pray for you. Jesus will heal you. We will lead you to Christ right here. I was like, this is the message that was supposed to be preached, but the church played it safe and lost one of the greatest revivals that was supposed to happen because we played it safe. And we lost it. Paul wanted to go in. And he was restrained by people who were playing it safe. Soon the officials of the province, friends of Paul, also sent a message to him, begging him not to risk his life. You know, Paul was ready and willing to risk his life. You want to see the unusual miracles? You got to live the risk. Got to live in that place of risk. You can't avoid it by entering into the amphitheater. Inside, the people were all shouting some one thing and some another. Everything was in confusion. Doesn't look like a revival, but it is. The stage is set. In fact, most of them didn't even know why they were there. Why are you here? I don't know. Why did you come? Not quite sure. Have you ever had people come into the church and you're like, so what led you here? I have no idea. Did somebody invite you? No, I was driving by and I just thought, I'm just stopping in. Anybody? Happens all the time. Why? Stage is being set. Spirit is working. They're in a place of confusion, but they're following because the Spirit is lead. That's the time. When you see that happening in somebody's life, that's the time to go for it. Now, let me point out, this wasn't Paul blowing it. Paul wanted to do it. He was being restrained. He was being held back by the church. Don't hold back, people of God. Don't hold them back. This was missed. Our goal is to recapture that revival in Ephesus. That is the Moors' passion. That's why they went and lived in that country and were there in that region for years to recapture that. That's why we want to see that school there. We want to recapture that. Recapture that revival and know there is no more time, I believe, in all of history that Turkey has been in more confusion right now and the entire Middle East. The stage, my friends, is set. And we stop and we think because it's small or it's just a few that it doesn't make an impact. Can I tell you this? Shift the atmosphere. You may be like, well, I'm not the best preacher, but you can shift the atmosphere by just going and praying for people. You want to see what that looks like in the most dangerous country in the world? I'm going to show you footage from Afghanistan. 4 days before I went, the Taliban set off a bomb outside of the German embassy, killing over 100 people, injuring over 200. I say 90 in the film is because that was the body count at that time. Later, it was over 100 who died. People were calling me. All of my friends were like, Robbie, this is a sign. Don't go. And I was like, no, you don't understand. This is little Lucy. That's my pet name for Satan. If your name's Lucy, forgive me. Short for Lucifer. I'm like, this is little Lucy throwing a temper tantrum, and if I yield to this, he'll do this everywhere I go. And I'm not yielding to little Lucy. He's not in charge. Little Lucy's not in charge. And so I said, this is just little Lucy throwing a temper tantrum. And so you have to understand, in 2014, the Afghan believers call 2014 the year of death, because that's when the ISIS came in to Afghanistan. The Taliban was already there. When ISIS came in, they were just killing all these Christians throughout the entire country, just going in. As soon as they'd find out people that were even suspected of Christians, they would just go in. They were killing, wiping out entire families, both of international workers and also of locals. There's not a believer in Afghanistan that doesn't know at least one entire family that was completely killed when ISIS came in. And ISIS was there when I went there in 2017. And so it was crazy. I get a call from the CIA. And you know, when they call you, they don't tell you they're CIA, but I have a friend who used to work for the CIA. And when I told him about the conversation, he goes, oh, that was the CIA. And I was like, really, for sure? I thought it was, because it was weird, because as soon as they hung up, the number just disappeared off my phone. It was like it never happened on my phone. It was the weirdest thing I've ever seen. It was spooky. But the guy's on the phone, he goes, Mr. Dawkins, he goes, we've heard you're going to Afghanistan. He goes, you can't go to Afghanistan. And I said, I got a visa. I got a ticket. I'm going. And they're like, you don't understand. And he starts telling me, he goes, the guy says to me, he goes, listen, they want to take you before they want to take Pence or a general in the army. And I said, why? And he says, because they want to get a video of them torturing you and ultimately cutting your head off. And so they can show and they can scare all the Christians to leave their faith. And he goes, they want somebody like you because you're an internationally known Christian minister. And he's telling me he's like, I'm going to send you videos of these tortures so you can prepare yourself for what that would look like, so that you'll have some sense, you know, about before you go. And I've stopped him and I said, or the greatest revival that has ever hit the Middle East since Pentecost is about to hit the most dangerous nation on earth. And when it does, I just made your job easier for you. And he goes, hang on. And I heard a click on the phone. And I later realized that was the recorder stopping. And he goes, Robbie. Before it was Mr. Dawkins, Mr. Dawkins, Mr. Dawkins. And he says, Robbie. And Robbie's not on my passport. And he goes, Robbie. And I said, yeah. And he goes, I've read your book. And I said, which one? He said, do what Jesus did. He goes, Robbie, you have to go to Afghanistan. He goes, it will work. He goes, what God has shown you and given you, it will work. I know it will work. And he goes, let me give you some important information. And he did. He gave me some really key, very helpful information. I'm not telling you, but I was, and he goes, now, hang on. And then all of a sudden, I heard a click again. He goes, no, Mr. Dawkins, you understand. You cannot go to Afghanistan. I was like, I got it. You ticked your box. You instructed me. I understand. And so when we were going in there, and part of it is, he goes, you do realize you're going at the start of Ramadan. He's like, this explosion was the Taliban saying that this is what Ramadan is going to look like. And all the Christians there, they were telling me, we leave during Ramadan because it's too dangerous. They'll kill more Christians during Ramadan than any other time because they get more stuff in paradise if they do. And so he was like, you're going at the most dangerous time. I said, you don't understand. I said, if you read my book, Do What Jesus Did, you understand. I have to go at the riskiest time in order to see the greater works. And but this was before he'd stopped the recording. Or this was actually after that part where he stopped the recording. And I said to him, I said, it has to be during this time. It's got to be during Ramadan. And so I won't tell you anymore. We'll just show the video and I'll explain some things. Leave my mic on if you would, and we'll explain some things as we go. But I'll show you this.
I'm giving myself for the one thing that's worth giving myself for in all of history, in all the world. One thing worth dying for. I'm here doing it right now. Just kept coming back again and again. There's nothing else worth it like this. There's no nation, there's no government, there's nothing worth it the way this is worth it. This is the one thing for all all of history, all of time, that is worth giving everything for. To see that God is here on the move, actively
in hot
pursuit of a humanity that's even in denial of him.
When you don't have a baptismal, you just use a bathtub.
This is, at this time, the most dangerous country in the world for Christians. I mean, these three major Muslim terrorist groups that he'd just blown up 4 days before, a bomb right outside of the German embassy, killing 90 people, injuring 200 people, shutting down the city streets, shutting down a major part of the city. The tension that brought, that whole tension of death, was moving into this place of Christians accusing other Christians. If you keep going out and evangelizing, if you keep sharing your faith, if you keep inviting people to Jesus, you're going to get us killed. And then they got it.
Oh, Holy Spirit, just go before us. Direct us. Father, we just thank you that Jesus is going to be so famous in Afghanistan.
You gotta realize in Afghanistan it's not just ISIS and the Taliban, it's the police, the military, everybody wants to kill a Christian.
Yeah, that.
They had just killed a Christian 2 weeks before at this very spot.
We are surrounded by three different major Muslim terrorist groups that are controlling this city. Al-Qaeda, ISIS, the Taliban, all three are colliding and fighting over this one city, you know, in the heart of Afghanistan. When you start communicating Jesus as being higher than Muhammad, is when there's danger. And when miracles are happening in the name of Jesus today, they don't happen in the name of Muhammad today.
This one is shorter, yeah. Oh man, look at that. That is significant. Okay. In Jesus' name, I command his hips to line up.
This is not me praying, this is me doing like last night, me training them.
Grow right now in Jesus' name. I declare peace in these hips. In Jesus' name.
And so I'm holding the guy's legs and we're praying and, you know, commanding this leg to grow out in Jesus' name.
Left leg grow in Jesus' name.
All of a sudden we see the police approaching in the distance.
In Jesus' name. Perfect alignment.
His leg had already grown out, but his hip was hitting now.
Right now.
His leg was uneven. But it's now even.
Okay. Okay. Hydra camera. Hydra the camera. All right.
Okay. Good.
I sat there and I thought, man, there's no place to run. If this turns quick, we're completely uncovered. How they have to explain any authority? Oh, those were Christians and they prayed for that guy. Or they were talking to him about Jesus. That's all they need.
These are probably the guys that killed the Christians.
He's asking why you came.
They had already taken the main camera and were looking through the footage. Now this was the second one.
You want to see?
When I saw them standing there and they grabbed the camera and they grabbed the phone, I was like, oh no, all the evidence is on there. They have it all.
Weeks worth of footage.
They have.
On there.
They can.
So
all they have
and kill
to do is
everybody
look past
they
a couple of little
it.
Scenes and boom, that's it. We're dead.
Lord, make blind, seeing eyes blind.
Of them? No. Yeah. He handed back the phone and the camera, and he said, "There's nothing on here. Everything was on there."
It was the hardest thing getting in that car and taking off. But yet the Lord spoke to me as soon as we started to pull away. He said, "The seed is planted." Well, you clearly demonstrated the gospel. The seed was planted. It's not done. There's more to come.
The enemy wants to keep us in fear. If we react in fear and just hide, that's what he wants. But we react to that by going out, healing the sick, telling them about Jesus. We make the enemy pay for that. And that's how we tell them, you stay out of our city.
We've got the devil on the run. We've got Satan terrified. He knows what's going to happen. And he's throwing everything at us. This opposition actually is there to create a fire to stir us to increase everything rather than to pull back from everything. And so it was at that point, our last day together, we prayed, "Holy Spirit, would you come? Would you fall on us with boldness?
Never seen anybody fall
would you
out
send
of the
your
Spirit
fire
again?
Here?
Most of them had never spoken in tongues before.
And it came. It came with fire. And it came with boldness. And it came with the release. And it came with courage.
Taliban leader.
They needed
came to kill us.
A power surge of the Holy Spirit.
Now their greatest evangelist.
They needed to be impacted. They needed to be shook. They needed to be filled and empowered. And it only came by that power of the Holy Spirit. By the Holy Spirit coming and filling them with something that had to be beyond themselves. With a power, an authority, a release, a boldness, a holy boldness. It was the only way that it could happen.
Pastors from all over Afghanistan.
They were like, "Where's more? We gotta do more. We gotta see more." Now all the gloves are off. Now everything's changed. Now we're going all in. During Ramadan, most of the Muslim people they only come out at night because during the day they have to fast. They can't even drink water. And so we're winding around through these streets, desolate area. Just sort of extreme place out of the way.
Did you guys see that guy walking back there? On that side of the road. Is it possible?
He's
missing an arm.
Wow.
He's asking what happens to his hands. He said it's an explosion. Do you want that you pray for you?
What's wrong with his hands?
What
time could you ask?
My don't
show.
She asked the
station. This hand
came
from
the wall.
His
hands also, he has some problems.
He can't stretch him out.
He cannot open.
So touch his hand. All right. Father.
Father.
In the name of Jesus, I command this hand to be healed right now. I command these fingers to straighten right now.
Again, this is
be
not me
healed.
Praying, this is me training Fahim
in Jesus' name.
As bishtar kardan?
Oh, he's surprised.
He's surprised
yeah,
at this.
Yeah, now he's surprised.
Do you
now
see?
Okay.
Jesus loves you so much.
His hand opened up immediately.
His finger is more straight.
And
his finger is straight. His finger was bent.
Only the
داشته از اون بهتر شد نه؟
آه بله حالا کم کم صحیح شده میره.
You see it?
Yeah.
I saw his finger straight.
Yeah, it's such a
shot.
Wow, look at that, man.
Light shot?
Yes,
light shot. All of
his fingers not bent.
Yeah.
No, I know. I saw his hand was like that before.
Yeah.
Jesus just healed your hand. It was like that.
All out of cut with it.
Now it's like all straight. Straighten it out all the way. Look at that, man.
Hot boss.
Yeah. There's no more pain.
He was showing you how far he could open it.
I saw it. I know. I saw his finger was like that, and these fingers were like that. Yeah. Yeah.
They all
said that. You
know, that's
Jesus telling you how
every person
you
prayed for.
It was the moment, the pinnacle of what we knew God had sent us there for to do, and to see that, for them to catch that. He's really for us. He's contending for us. He's breaking through. He's doing it. This isn't us having to do it. This isn't us having to be just wise as serpents alone. He's there. You know, he's got a sword drawn. He's fighting in this battle.
So we're asking him, Jesus healed your hand. Do you want to accept Jesus as God?
He's feeling a very good feeling now.
His answer was, now I'm able to sacrifice myself for Jesus because he knows it'll get him killed. Turn the volume up if you would please, Becca.
Just pray with him right there, yeah.
You have to say the name of Jesus. There's power in that name. That will change things. That'll disarm things. You have to say the name of Jesus. And so he says the name of Jesus, translates it, and then there is this peace.
He's feeling so much peace that he never felt before since he's born.
Hallelujah. Praise God. So good.
And he's accepting Christ.
They later, Afghans later, were talking about, so as soon as you translated the name of Jesus, there was something that happened.
You're my brother.
My
brother. I love you, my brother. I love you, my brother.
Love you.
Love you. I'm going to pray for you. All the time. I love you.
They just got an impartation of boldness. They got it. And it just... I lost it after that. I was like, Lord, they can't see me go there and do this. They've got to see you're fighting for them. You're fighting for them. You're defending them because they're the ones doing this every day on the line. I'm just coming in. I'm just providing a spark. This is their opportunity to see God as
they wouldn't
our
let
side.
Me coach him anymore. After
and he
this.
Is advancing this gospel. It's not just us and our efforts and us and our persuasion abilities, our ability to speak, but it is a collision. It is the kingdom breaking into the natural and demonstrating the reality of the power of who Jesus is and him showing, I am Lord and this is my nation. And I will be proclaimed in the streets of this city.
Mark my word, Afghanistan will be a Christian nation within 8 years. You mark my word. The gospel is exploding there. People want Jesus so desperately. It is exploding there. They are sick of all the war. They're sick of all the radical stuff. They want Jesus. They're desperate for it. Don't hold back. Live the risk. This is our time to see the kingdom come and our king rule and reign. Father, I just pray that you would just saturate us with a reckless abandonment, the total dependency on you. On
not on natural skills or abilities, but relying on you, your kingdom, your power, and the demonstration of your kingdom. We have so much to learn from the underground church. In Jesus' name. Don't go anywhere. We're going to do some ministry here in a minute. I'm going to turn it over to Adam for just a minute, but don't go if you can.
Thanks. Thanks a lot. That's awesome. Well, if you haven't teared up yet, then this morning he did the same thing to us, by the way. Just let you know the same thing happened. But tonight's offering, normally we would take two up, but we've just decided we're not going to. We're going to just put all your checks tonight. Is it ILM?
ILC.
ILC, thank you. ILC. We're not taking an offering towards his trip here. We're going to give all the money to what you see going on right there. So we decided as a church we're going to sow into Robbie for being here and what he's doing. And so every one of your checks, if you would, just write to ILC. We're going to give it directly to Robbie and his ministry going and doing that, putting schools out there, putting everything else you're doing over there in the Middle East. And so if you would like more information, it's on your website, I imagine. ILC, you can get some more information in the foyer. But tonight, we are going to take up an offering for this. It's not going to go towards his trip here tomorrow morning. Church folks, we're going to let you sow. We're going to let you cover all this. We're going to let you be blessed to sow in. Last night, we sowed into it also. If you like to sow into it, you're welcome to, but not this offering. This offering is going to go right to what you see happening in that video. So if you would, I want to pray a blessing over. And we heard this morning, too. But this is an amazing opportunity, what they're doing over there, and I believe the gospel is being presented with power over there. So, Father, as we give tonight, we give in faith, knowing that there's a world that is ripe for revival, ripe for miracles, and we pray that this seed that we're sowing, and I pray right now that even in this room, where there's people, just as you're contemplating, the Bible says that God will give seed to the sower. Hear the Lord today speaking to you what to give. Just take a second. Give in faith, give in obedience. That's where the blessing, the willing and the obedient shall eat the fruit of the land. That's what the word says. So be willing and obedient tonight to sow into ILC, into this ministry that's presenting the gospel in the Middle East. And pastors and leaders being trained up to go do the work of the ministry. And so, Lord, as we sow tonight, we pray that the harvest that we would be a part of would be great. Not just for our own lives, but every one of those seeds being sowed, souls would be saved, miracles would transpire, and we believe right now in the name of Jesus. Amen. Bless you as you give tonight. We're going to hand over back to Robbie, and is there anything else you need? No? Okay.
No, just if you want to give online, if you want to give like electronically, you can just raise your phone up to the photo, take a photo of that QR code, and it'll take you right to the website. You can also sign up for our newsletter that's there, but that'll take you to our website where you can go there. Thank you so much. Thank you for believing in us and for doing that. You know, it's. I got to be honest, it's been a bit hard getting the church in the West to really buy into this. We thought, man, everybody was going to want to be a part of it, but we did not realize how much, because of what's happening in our political arena and what's taking place, so many people that are so cautious. But this is what will break that, I'm telling you. This is what will change that. And there's no question that there's an infiltration of Islamic influence that is trying to take over our government. There's no question about that at all. And that is true. And that is a very real thing. It is a plot of the enemy to do so. And so, but hitting it at its core, at where these nations, are, where we're going to then, how do we retaliate with the gospel, with the good news? How do we respond? How do we retaliate? This isn't actions of war, but it is, we have the bunker busters of the spirit that are far more powerful at defeating the enemy. And so hitting it at the core of by going and sharing them the truth of the gospel is where it's at. Man, that just gets me jacked. I just get jacked up every time I think about it. Every time I see that footage, I'm ready to go. I can't wait till December. I'm like, I want to go there right now. I can't wait to have to wait that long. It's not even that far away, and it feels like forever right now. Would you guys stand? You know, Paul is talking about, in that passage, he's talking about to the church about, you know, do you know the Holy Spirit? And man, we need to be filled with the awareness of the Holy Spirit's power. And so just like as we prayed for those Afghan underground church leaders, I want to pray for just the Holy Spirit to come and to fall on us. And as we pray, do me a favor. Don't pray, just receive. But just put your hands out like you're receiving a gift, if you would. Just close your eyes. Put your focus on the Lord. Come, Holy Spirit. Come. I've heard the cry of these pastors for the past 2 days. We need a visitation of the Spirit like never before. There's a hunger here. Come, Holy Spirit. Fill your church. We've heard your message, Holy Spirit. You're telling us you want your church back. And for men to surrender it back to you. It's your church. Come. Take your church back. Be filled. Any of you are feeling tingling or heat? Some of you, your legs are shaking or your heart's racing. There's just a weightiness of God's presence on you. If you're feeling any of that, just raise your hand right now. Just right where you are, raise your hand up if you're feeling any of that. If you have your hand raised, I want you to come down here to the front right now. If you just raised your hand, come forward, come to the front. Don't stop in the aisles. Come up to the step. Make way for the people behind you. Come up to the step. Keep coming over here. Let's come over this way. Just make space. Many of you back at your seat, you're feeling tingling or heat in your fingertips or your hands. If you're back at your seat and you're feeling that, raise your hands. I'm also talking about you. If you just raise your hand, come forward. I'm talking about you too. So many times we think if it's not all over that it's not us. But if you're feeling that in your hands, don't stop in the aisle. Come over. Make way. That's the Holy Spirit on you. It's all right. That happens when the Holy Spirit shows up. More, Lord. More, Lord. Holy Spirit, double it right now. Double portion right now. Turn it up. Increase in your power and presence just right now. Increase. More, Lord. Go deep in us. More. If you're back at your seat and you're not feeling this, but you want it, just step out and come forward. If you're like, I'm not feeling it, I just want it, just step out and come forward. More. Turn it up. Go deep. More, Lord. Be filled. Be filled. Fire of God, fall in this place. Ignite us. Ignite your church. Ruin us for the average, the mundane, the ordinary. Let them become tasteless to us. And to press into the extravagance of where you are. More, Lord. Let your fire fall in this place right now. More, Lord. More. Fire of God, come. More. More. Spirit of God's all over you right now. More, Lord. Make these hands hot with your healing, anointing, and power. The deep Holy Spirit. More, Lord. Fire. 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 Release of the fire of your Spirit. More, Lord. More, Lord. Go deep, Holy Spirit. Go deep, Holy Spirit. Be filled. Full to overflowing. Full to overflowing. Make these hands hot. More, Lord. More. Be filled. The Spirit of God's all over you right now. More, Lord. Fresh fire. Fresh fire. Go deep. Go deep. More, Lord. More, Lord. Ruin us with your presence. More. More. Be filled. Full to overflowing. More, Lord. More, Lord. Fire of God. Fire of God. Come. Come. Be filled. Full to overflowing. Full to overflowing. Full to overflowing. More, Lord. More, Lord. More, Lord. Healing all through our back right now. More, Lord. More, Lord. Make these hands hot. Healing, anointing, power. More. More. Fresh fire. Be filled. Be filled. Go deep, Holy Spirit. Go deep, Holy Spirit. More. More. Up we go. Up we go. The fingerprints of God are all over you. More, Lord. More, Lord. Be filled. Be filled. Be filled. Full to overflowing. Full to overflowing. More, Lord. More, Lord. Refreshing of your presence. More, Lord. Be filled. Be filled. More. 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 There's a prophetic voice in you. There's a prophetic voice in you. Release the prophecy. Release it. Release it. It's so full. It's so full inside of you. More. 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 Be filled. Go deep, Holy Spirit. Go deep, Holy Spirit. More, Lord. More, Lord. More, Lord. More, Lord. Fresh fire. Fresh fire. More. 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 Turn it up. More, Lord. More, Lord. Increase of your presence. Increase of your power. Go deep, Holy Spirit. Go deep, Holy Spirit. Fresh fire. Fresh fire. Be filled. Be filled. Be filled. More, Lord. More, Lord. More, Lord. More, Lord. Fill them up. Fill them up. Full to overflowing. Full to overflowing. More. 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 Here. There's an anointing, anointing. It's a Levitical line. And you, more, Lord. Go deep. Fill them up. Fill them up. Be filled. Be filled. Full to overflowing. fresh fire, fresh fire, fresh fire. Go deep, Holy Spirit. Go deep, Holy Spirit. More, Lord. More, Lord. Full to overflowing. Be filled. Be filled. Be filled. Fill them up, Holy Spirit. Fill them up, Holy Spirit. More, Lord. More, Lord. More, Lord. More, Lord. Fire of God, come. Fire of God, fall on this place. Healing in these hands. More, Lord. More, Lord. More, Lord. More, Lord. More, Lord. Release the fire of your presence. Fill them up. Fill them up. More. More. Be filled. Be filled. Be filled. Go deep, Holy Spirit. Go deep, Holy Spirit. More, Lord. More, Lord. More, Lord. Fill them up. If you just see the Spirit of God on somebody, just gently reach over and touch them. If you don't know what to pray, just say, more, Lord. More, Lord. If you see the Spirit of God on somebody, just reach over and gently touch them. Just say, more, Lord, right now. More, Lord. More. Make these hands high. Healing, anointing, and power. Make them high. Make them high. Go deep. Go deep. Be filled. Be filled. Be filled. Be filled. More. More. Fresh fire. Fresh fire. Fresh fire. Fresh fire, fresh fire, fresh fire, fresh fire. Healing anointing, healing anointing, healing power right now. More. Go deep, Holy Spirit. Go deep, Holy Spirit. Go deep, Holy Spirit. Fill them up, fill them up. Be filled. Full to overflowing. Full to overflowing. Just right now, reach over and touch somebody and just begin to bless what the Lord's doing. You don't have to whisper. Not going to scare. Holy Spirit's not like a skittish child and you're going to run him away. More, more, more. Fire of God. Fire of God. Go deep, Holy Spirit. Go deep, Holy Spirit. Be filled. Be filled. Be filled. Be filled. Be filled. More, Lord. you need healing in your body, raise your hand right now. If you came because you need healing, raise your hand high. If you're standing by anybody who has their hand raised, turn to them and just ask them where you can pray for them right now, especially if you are feeling tingling or heat in your hands. You don't have to, but right now, turn and ask them where they need healing and begin to pray. Command that part of their body to be healed now. There's a healing anointing being released here. Activate it now. I do not want you praying quietly. It doesn't mean you have to shout or scream, but if you pray quietly in the church, you will pray quietly outside of it. And we need bold followers of Christ. More, Lord. There's others of you that you've not been baptized in the Holy Spirit with speaking in tongues. If that's you, raise your hand right now. If you haven't and you want that, raise your hand. Those of you who pray, Carmen, yeah. If you, those of you that are around them that have it, if you see somebody with a hand raised, begin to pray for them now. Begin to pray for them and release the baptism of the Holy Spirit with fire. And as they pray for you, begin to speak in tongues. This is something you do by faith. It doesn't matter what your brain's telling you. Don't follow that. You do it by the Spirit. You do activate it by faith. Paul says, my mind is disengaged. Right now, we release the baptism of fire in this house to fall on everyone who is hungry for it here. Be baptized in the Holy Spirit now and begin to speak in tongues right now. Come on, speak in tongues. More, Lord, more, right now. Right now, there's a release and a baptism of joy that's coming too. For those of you that have been in depression, you're going to break forth in joy. The joy of the Lord is being released in here right now. And a baptism of joy is coming here. In the name of Jesus, right now.